This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Lock and Key Unlocked, a podcast about Lock and Key on Netflix, as well as the comic books by Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. I'm Alex.
I'm Bad Bodie Justin.
Oh, no, I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about Lock and Key Season 3, Episode 4, Deep Cover. So if you haven't watched it on Netflix, please go do. But brief recap here, and then we'll get into the nasty little bits with our Bad Bodie.
Come on, man.
But at the end of the last episode, evil after Bodie, a ghost chase, Bodie's body has been taken over by Dodge's spirit. So Dodge is wandering around looking for the keys over the course of this episode. Dodge not only is very mean to everybody in Bodie's body while searching for the keys, but hooks up with Captain Frederick Gideon, begins working for him. And then by the end of the episode, the big revelations and big things that we get is Nina finds Dodge's body hidden under Bodie's bed. Tyler gets his memory back. Things are continuing to look real bad for our Locke family here.
Big moves and stuff happening. It's like you get one, you lose one. You get Tyler, you lose the secret of the key.
A lot of chess going on. A lot of back and forth.
Yeah, I'll
like,
tell you.
Pete, you love Bad Bodie because he's mean to Josh, but I love Josh because he's hot. So, like, we have a lot of things.
No. I am not. This was heartbreaking. Seeing evil Bodie be horrible was absolutely heartbreaking. The Rufus fight broke my heart in two. I can't take this.
But to Justin's point, I certainly the scene where Josh is like saying something about history when he first encounters him and Bad Bodie shoots back, you would know dinosaur. Yeah. You love that, right? Like there was a little bit, there was a second when you were on Bad Bodie's side.
I felt your pleasure from a great distance across space and time when I heard that line.
I mean, he had some great zingers, but overall, I mean, come on, it was heartbreaking to see.
I will say, not to always start these podcasts off talking about Hot Josh, but I thought he was a hilarious dork this episode. The scene of the Mexican restaurant where he's like, can we get some guacamole? That was such a funny offhand line.
No, it wasn't.
Funny. Such an unnecessary joke line. I loved it because he is, while he's known as Hot Josh, he's really dork Josh.
Mm-hmm. Pete, you want to keep talking about this?
A dad, and he's okay. You know what I mean? It's mediocre Josh. You guys are blowing this out of the water. You're having way too much fun.
Mediocre is not, any way you slice it, he's not mediocre Josh.
Yeah. Do we want to start from the beginning? Okay, because I feel like I introduced it wrong. The name of our podcast is actually Hot Josh Unlocked, so we should probably start there and try.
Yeah, it would be more appropriate, but frustrating.
Well, let's actually get to the meat of the episode and talk about Bad Bodie. Here's the big thing I was surprised about, and I'm curious to get your take. Maybe this is my expectation for the comics, but it was wild to me how quickly everybody figured it out, like how quickly we got through that plot point. And obviously there's going to be some twists and turns here, but this is something that I think, like,
what do you mean how not everybody knows, man?
But one episode and it's out there. Dodge's body is literally out there. Nina knows about it. Rufus knows about it. He's not necessarily going to tell Ellie because he was threatened by Bad Bodie, but
we're jumping all over the place. I mean, we need to start.
Okay. I know I've gone wrong. If you're telling me I'm jumping all over the place, but my point is that over the course of one episode, we moved to a hugely different place with this Bad Bodie thing. And any other season of television, I would expect, like, that's literally the entire season.
Well, and I think they knew that they only had this much real estate left in their show, basically.
Yeah, there's so much to do.
So there's a lot to do. But I would also say, I don't know if we know as much. Like, Rufus definitely knows. Nina just found Dodge's body. And I think episode, I think she will effectively cover quickly with Bodie. So I think Nina and the other kids will be like, what's going on here? And I don't know if they're going to sniff it out quite as quickly. I don't think they have it yet. Yeah, is my read on it.
I agree. I mean,
they definitely could tell that Bodie's an asshole, though. Like, everyone's like, yo, dude, chill. And truly, every single person was like, yeah, that's weird for that kid to be saying that shit. And so I think that's
I will say,
the fact that Rufus called it out first, I was really happy about that. Like, I was really happy Rufus figured it out and was like, yo, this isn't my boy. This is, you know, And that was such an amazing thing. But again, we're jumping all over the place. I want to get back to the beginning. You want to talk about the Marvel flip, right, Pete? No, I want to talk about eating breakfast like a champion, like Bodhi just throwing down like handfuls of bacon and grabbing a stack of pancakes is how you do it. It was really magical to see and a fun way to start the episode.
The fact that you're saying that makes me know, finally, that you have a demon in you, and it explains everything.
I did like the food thing. I'm still not, and I know we're three seasons in it, I should probably get this, but I'm still not 100% clear of the rules here in terms of the whole eating thing. Like, so just to clarify it, Dodge's spirit, which is infected with a demon, is now in Bodhi's body. So Bodhi is taken over by the demon, and that means the only way of getting the demon out is by using the alpha key, right? Or can they switch ghosts?
They can switch ghosts because Bodhi's body hasn't been infected by the demon. Dodge's body, which has been infected by the demon, has just ghosted into Bodhi. So key does not apply.
And what if you put Bodhi in the healing box? Would that draw
the mending cabinet?
Yeah, the mending cabinet.
No, I don't think so. Also, that said, though, the demons are still attached to the spine of the ghosts. We saw that last season, and that's consistent with the comic book as well. So I don't know, man. I think we're still going to head towards exactly what they do in the comic book, which the only way of taking down Bad Bodhi is with the alpha key and essentially killing his body. I think we're going to get that.
Come on, man. Don't put that out
potentially,
there.
But my understanding of the rules is if they push Bad Bodhi through the ghost door and Dodge's spirit leaves and Bodhi's spirit comes back, then they were all kosher there.
Then we're good.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is some sad things. But I think rule-wise, I think that could happen.
All right. That's fair enough. What was I going to – let's keep going with the Bad Bodhi thing. And I do think in terms of the emotional hook of the episode, obviously it's an excuse that Bad Bodhi is giving that he's upset about Hot Josh dating his mom. But I do think it's a real world emotional hook. They do a nice job there of weaving that in that does actually work as like a metaphorical level of what's going on with Bodhi other than the other level.
Lie. I think it's an effective lie that Dodge finally does something to help her case there, because it's a good lie. It's a true lie that she tells.
Well, let me ask you this then also, because this is something that I was thinking through while watching the episode. Is this consistent with the Dodge that we've seen previously? Like, the Dodge on the show is just a angry force of nature rather than a planner. Like, Frederick Gideon seems like the planner, right? The reason I ask this is because a lot of the stuff that Dodge in Bodhi's body is doing this episode is erratic and bad for giving away the secret.
Well, I agree with you, and I was sort of surprised by, like, take a second. But I think the answer is in the Dodge that we got. This Dodge was in the middle of a plan, took the time shift opportunity to jump back in time, realized that she was losing, sort of is like in free fall. It's like that kind of thing where you're like, oh, let's just jump in this bar and grab a quick drink. You're like, I don't know, let's have something crazy. And like, you're a little more reckless when it's like a surprise last minute thing, as opposed to something where you're like, so tonight we're going to this bar. I'm going to have this. Like, you know, is that bar metaphor working for you guys as a?
Yes. Yeah, sure. It is.
Yeah, I get it. I've been
like, if you're having
before.
A gin chowder, you know, you don't just sit.
We started on that. They talked about bills. They didn't go there. We didn't get to see the chowder again. I mean, how many times are they going
to
talk about the chowder?
Not to back it up too much. Real quick, are we talking about a Manhattan gin chowder or a New England gin chowder?
What I'm saying is, like, you plan for a New England gin chowder. A Manhattan gin chowder? That's an accident. And you just sort of – you fall into that. And I think that's what Dodge is doing here. Dodge is a little more reckless because there's no plan, just operating on instinct. And
counters
Gideon.
like smart. I mean, that whole thing with the mug, and then you know, Evil Bodhi's like, nice try with the mug, asshole. Like, I didn't know what was happening on, but Dodge knew immediately, like trying to signal. So I thought that was pretty cool. And the only time we got to see Ghost Bodhi, the good Bodhi.
Well, I mean, to mention that, so this was established in the last season that ghosts can create kind of these ice trails. That was something that Kinsey and Scott followed, if I remember correctly. And I think this points to what we've been talking about with the season, that there's a lot less explanation going on. There's a lot less of making it new viewer friendly and more just, we're off to the races. Catch up if you want to, but we're going to do this stuff. And if you remember it, good. And if you don't remember it, that's fine too. We're on to the next thing.
And I appreciate it because they're in a phase of the show where they're like, hey, we know this is the end. Like, let's just do it for the fans. Let's do it for the people who love this, as opposed to being like, let's try to welcome in new viewers, because they don't have to do that anymore. They know that they're just telling a complete story and people can find this in their own time.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. To get back to the chowder of it all real quick, we get a Bills versus Phils mention, which I thought was very fun. That's a fun runner. It's
very good. And let's remember, last episode, we were teased the chowder with the oyster crackers. First come the crackers, then comes the chowder. That's the way we do our business.
So do you think, let's say, Frederick Gideon didn't go to the library at all, do you think he'd been like, hey, get me some oyster crackers? And the security guard would have gone, gotten the oyster crackers, come back to the library, and he'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, can I get some chowder with that as well?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't get – you. Who orders oyster crackers solo?
Nobody.
Who's getting a bunch of
somebody
crackers?
Who's already has soup at home and just wants the crackers from their favorite spot. There's nothing wrong with
it. What's his home soup?
Maybe he was sitting at a desk. Maybe his desk drawer is just full of chowder.
Maybe his partner made him a nice clam chowder. You know what I mean?
When I get to be like rich, I'm going to have a chowder drawer. And it's not going to have no bowl, no container. It's going to be a drawer I open that's heated, that's full of chowder.
You're just going to scoop it out?
Just have a spoon. Everyone's going to be like, why do you have a spoon on your desk? And I'm going to say chowder drawer.
And then you're going to say, hey, can you pick me up some oyster crackers? Because for whatever reason, you don't have a drawer full of oyster crackers. But
yeah, I'm not like rich.
I'm not a millionaire.
Yeah, I'm just saying I'm rich enough to have a chowder drawer.
I know what that means. I get it. Let's talk about Tyler, because that's a big plot line this episode. As Carly comes to visit him, drives all the way over.
Beautiful.
Pete, you just gave a you seem to be feeling pretty good about this relationship.
Well, I thought it was a strong move on Carly's part. You know, she felt the connection. She wanted to see what's up. And I was sad because I feel like we said hello to her and goodbye to her in this episode. But I'm glad that, you know, she was there for Tyler. It was a nice moment. And it was also cool her and Kinsey talking. I thought it would really help the family as a whole grow a little bit. And and I was sad to see her go because she seems really nice.
I agree. Yeah. I think she's a match.
Yeah, I liked her as well. I wasn't sure how I felt about the whole relationship the first couple of episodes. Obviously, we only got to see a little bit in the premiere, but I think she made a strong case for herself as an option for Tyler over the course of this episode. And if Tyler survives and he does move on with his life, which I kind of think he will, I think we might actually see Carly again in terms of his happy ending or the thing he actually needs to move forward past the memory of Jackie.
I think so.
She was good.
And like, to sort of follow that trail, I think that what she says to him when they're on their walk in the woods is what fixes things. Like, it gets, it realigns him. She's talking about how, like, hey, I know this seems annoying to you, but it's pretty awesome having people that like you and want to do best for you. Because it's clear, and I really love the way they handle it, it's clear she doesn't have that and is struggles with that and is, like, sort of impressed or like just loves the fact that he has that. So I think that really, we talked a lot about like, when are we going to get Tyler back? I love that this is the way we did it. It felt like it righted the path. And then his conversation with Kinsey before she unlocks him, I thought was great. Kinsey is so careful. Is like, okay, I'll give you one more out on this. And he says all the right things, unlocked. Yeah. So excited to have him back, especially with Bodhi still on the bad side.
Can I throw something out there? And I agree with you. I thought it was really emotionally played. I think it was really well done in terms of the way both of the actors put it out there in the scene. But it felt like to me there was one little piece missing, which is that Kinsey could have shown him one of the keys, which would have briefly jogged his memory and given him the information he would need to agree to use the memory key. Would that have been too much?
I like the images that we got and how kind of how it went down. Also, you had to have her go to the secret spot so Evil Bodhi could see it. Like, oof. It all kind of happened at the end there to kind of give you that oh shit moment. Like, oh, what's the next episode going to be? So I like the way they did it, and I like the imagery they chose to kind of show for him to kind of jog what happened.
Yeah, I agree. I think her getting the key and saying, like, hey, pull your shirt over to the side. He's like, what? Like, that to me is enough. That gave him – she did her due diligence by far. Because honestly, a couple of seconds later when Nina finds Dodge's body, it's going to be like, yo, Tyler, buckle up. We're about to open you up. I don't give a shit about the emotional underpinnings. It's go time.
Yeah, it definitely is go time.
It's good to have him back. It's going to be interesting to see how this new family dynamic works now that we have Bad Bodhi, now that Kinsey has really stepped up. Is she going to step back now, you know, because Tyler is back in the forefront? I don't think so, but I'm curious to see how it works.
I actually think it's better. Tyler was always sort of a hesitating leader and someone who made the tough choices, but only after really sweating it out. Kinsey is like, here's how we do things. And Tyler can be just a great sort of warrior foot soldier, like doing the business while Kinsey's like, yo, knock it off. Here's what we're doing. Like, she handles Bad Bodhi better than anybody. She's like, even though she doesn't say like something's wrong with you the way Rufus does, she's like, hey, I know what's happening and I don't tell you shit, kid. And like she does it right.
While we're talking about Kinsey, I thought there was a lot of great stuff with the Savinis here. Love seeing the little bits of the splattering too. That was very fun. And some good stuff for Doug in this episode as well, even if he like really rails at Bad Bodhi quite a bit in a very nerve-wracking way.
Well, of course
he
does. Yeah. You know, he's kind of like weirded out by who wouldn't be, you know?
Well, I was worried about Doug is my point.
Yeah.
Like, I legit thought he was going to die this episode.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I also was like, Doug, you don't need to talk trash about Scott. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like that was a little bit of a low blow on his part.
Well, I thought it was nice to sort of remind us about Scott before we actually got to see him, which I was super excited about. But also, if you're surprised by Doug talking shit, I don't know if you've been watching Doug. Because that's what Doug does. Doug does that.
Fair enough. Right. I want to get back to the Scott thing for a second. I thought the way they played that scene was really lovely as well. Mm-hmm. Like, actually having Scott and Kinsey still having a connection there, Kinsey being a little bummed that he has to go, but him really wanting to stay and talk to her. I think there's a lot of different ways they could play that, where it could have been Scott is more remote. He's more into his new life. And that's not really what it was about. He was like, I have obligations here. I have things I'm doing, but of course I want to talk to you and I am going to talk to you later. So it wasn't a plot line about them growing apart so much as they are apart and it's hard to manage that sort of relationship, which I thought was nice.
Yeah, I agree. Cause Kinsey, another show might have played it like Kinsey walking out of there being like mad or upset in a way, but she felt very understanding. It was just like, oh, I can't actually talk to him right now. He's too far away. It was great, especially after she drops the Mad Max Hatter title.
That was great. That connection was nice. And the fact that he loved that and was like, oh, I want to use that now. I love their connection. They're kind of like, even though it's long distance, the fact that they're still talking gives us hope.
I wanted to talk about Frederick Gideon and his backup flunkies and the relationship with Dodge a little bit, because we get some more information about that this episode. First of all, we get the meeting between Bad Bodhi and Catbird and Frederick Gideon. And as we suspected, they know each other, like they recognize recognized demon, you know, even if they have different bodies. So that was pretty sweet. But also, I'll throw out there that theory that I put out the last episode.
It's good.
I think based on this interaction, like Dodge wants the keys. All Dodge wants is the keys. Like, give me the keys. The keys are cool. And Frederick Gideon saying, no, I want to suck this entire world into our dimension, or bring our dimension to this world, and you can sit at my right hand. I think that's, not to jump ahead and talk about the key moment, but like, I think that's such a crucial moment in terms of, even though Dodge doesn't give it up, Dodge is going to be like, I don't want to be anybody's right hand. I'm in charge of this shit. So is going to help them take Frederick Gideon down.
Yeah, but it was smart of Dodge to play along, because Dodge mm-hmm. knows, like, you got keys. I'm going to want those. So, like, while I'm collecting on my own, I can keep an eye on you.
Yeah, because Gideon has the keys that Dodge mainly used for her whole time in power in the last two seasons. I think we got a great reveal that it's not about – Gideon doesn't care about the keys themselves. He just needs quantity, because that's mm-hmm. how he widens the portal. I thought that was great. That was a huge detail, I think, to learn. And the fact that he wants to bring the demon world over is perfectly in conflict with Dodge, who just wants to stay in this world and dominate with the keys and bring some demons over. So, like – they're in absolute opposition, and I think you're right, Alex, that like Dodge, who has more of a Locke family love of the keys and reverence for the keys, will sort of be on their side when it comes to Gideon being the big bad.
That also reminds me of a really nice moment at the beginning of the episode over breakfast, when Bad Bodhi sees one of the keys and is like, well, I guess I'll just take that, and then
no,
grabs
it was Kinsey. Yeah, Kinsey gives you, like, oh, you left this key out, the ghost key.
Yeah. Yeah, like, but just that moment of realizing, oh, wait, yeah. I'm a lock now, so I can actually take the keys. I thought that was really fun. I like that quite a bit.
And maybe the lesson here is, for as much of this series is about demons infecting people, maybe this plot is about the lock family mentality infecting a demon, infecting Dodge with, like, hey, but you. Here's the right thing to do a little bit. Because I feel like we're going to get that moment. I love the movie The Rocketeer. There's a great moment where the cops, at the end of the movie, where the cops and the mobsters are teaming up to fight a bunch of Nazis that show up out of nowhere, which is, that movie's wild and great. But there's this great funny moment where they just look at each other and sort of shrug while they're shooting at the Nazis. And you're like, look at that. And I think we're going to get that moment here with Dodge and the Locke family, just like shrugging mm-hmm. as they like shoot chains at Gideon and his army.
Let's talk through the rest of the episode. I think we've touched on all the big storylines here. Oh, we mentioned briefly the Rufus Bodhi fight, but like you said, Pete, that was brutal to watch.
Heartbreaking.
I can't believe how hard that fight went.
Also, yeah. There was a point where I was like, okay, seeing Bodhi be a dick to everybody is heartbreaking, but seeing him fight Rufus was too much, where I was like, I can't take this anymore. This is just too much to watch. And it is, these two are best friends, and seeing them fight like this was just too much. But Rufus, I loved how smart he was and how he like heard, like, okay, I won't say anything. I'll play it cool until I can come up with a better plan. I liked seeing this. I liked seeing smart moves made by the good guys. It gives us hope.
It was so hard to watch, like legit upsetting to watch Rufus take the heat for that in that moment.
Yeah.
But I agree. I like where we're going. I think Rufus is going to end up being a hero here at the end of the day.
As per usual.
Can I throw something out to you guys, and maybe you disagree with me here, but in the comic book, this is kind of how it plays out, where Rufus finds out about Bad Bodhi, and then Bodhi threatens his family, says he'll kill everybody that he loves, and so Rufus can't tell him, then goes on this big, heartbreaking, harrowing journey to eventually, spoiler, save everybody at the end of the book, essentially. We're obviously headed in a different direction here. I hated that moment where Bodhi threatened Rufus, but I feel like there was a sort of a little bit of a mistake in terms of having Rufus in the car alone with Ellie afterwards and not telling her, because I feel right. like in the show, it's kind of a little different Rufus. They have a different relationship, and I didn't quite buy him not being like, hey, Mom, now that we're alone, here's what's going on. Here's the deal.
But he's mad at her because she wants to move away. So he's like not, you know what I mean? Like he doesn't feel close with his mom right now to open up to her, because he's mad about, he thought that he was getting back into town or hanging out with his boy. Like, we're going to get the gang back together. This is where I'm going to live. This is where I'm going to roll. And him being thrown by all of this is kind of, is what's shutting him down a little bit.
That's a great call, Pete, because I think there's a world where he tells Ellie this and she's like, we have to run now.
Yeah.
But that meant, yeah. I don't know if she would actually do that because that's pretty ice cold. But I think he might have that fear because she's already said we're leaving. So maybe that's driving his inability to talk to her.
I think that makes sense. I'll buy that. And I guess we'll see how it plays going forward. Other moments from the episode that you want to call out in particular?
Well, we haven't talked about probably the biggest thing that happened all episode is we saw Tyler's car three times. Three times in the background, you could see Tyler's car. I thought it was some nice shots, some good lighting. It was just, it was great to see.
You know. Once again, putting out there that the only keys that impress Pete are the just regular car keys for Tyler's car in this show. Truly, the only key he cares about. A couple things. I thought it was fun that Dodge is forced to brush Bodhi's teeth by Nina. Like, what a come down for a demon to be like, all right, I'll go brush this kid's teeth. Very fun. Gordy popping up again. This guy's the ultimate guest star. Yeah. And I'm starting to have a feeling we're going to see the Tempest scene.
Oh, you know, we're getting that feeling? We're going to be recapping the last episode and be like, I've got a suspicion.
There's going to be a secret release of the Tempest scene.
Yeah.
A couple other things I thought were fun. It's very funny that Gideon, who is this great villain monster, is like, here's this notebook. I have this tiny notebook I want you to have, which I thought was cool. And the same way that the Rufus Bodhi, I was like, this is like a giant fighting a hobbit. Like, they're so mismatched. But the fact that they can carry through on the very real drama there is great. Something Bad Bodhi does that proves how awful he is he doesn't clean up that spilled soda.
Mm. Oh, and man, he does it.
That's going to get sticky.
I mean, the ants are going to come
the
in.
Ants! Just, think oh of the ants. Oh, that's well, a huge
use,
problem.
They could use the ant key, which gets rid of ants. I don't know.
No, I think that's the A-U-N-T key, which brings some great potato salad to the house.
Oh, man. Let's hope so.
I wanted to give a shout out to Jackson Robert Scott's performance in this episode as Bad Bodhi in particular. There's so many little moments that he does so well. One that I wrote down when he's walking into school and he sees the It's Cool to Be Kind poster and just gives it this death stare. So funny. And so many terrifying moments from him, too. It's great.
The look he gives as he closes the door, like, oh, my God, it was just so creepy.
The look he gives Rufus when he's telling him, like, calling him an idiot, I was like, oh so scary for a kid. This is the kid.
The guy he almost puts through a window in the school, he's like, listen, you piece. Like, it was like, whew. It was fun to see.
I do
want to
throw out one Bad Bodhi line that totally creeped me out in a different way, though, is when Bad Bodhi meets Carly and he says, way to go, Tyler, you sly dog. You were always into brunettes. Is especially upsetting.
It's devastating.
It's fucked up because Dodge hooked up with Tyler in the first season. So, like, Dodge in Bodhi, his brother's body. It's a lot. It's a lot to process.
It's a lot. It was a weird thing to say and a, like a weird moment that they just shook off.
Yeah, but great. And that's this show goes hard and I appreciate that. And also, like we said this in previous seasons, but like Dodge's greatest weakness is not understanding the value of people. If Dodge was more scared by the people around Bodhi sniffing it out, Dodge would win. Like Jamie knowing, being like, this guy's off the hook with his attitude. Rufus, all of them, like that's how Dodge is blowing this. And it's such an easy, of all the villainous things, it's the easiest to just be respectful of people's relationships so you can defeat them.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens. Before we wrap up here, why don't we talk about the key moment of the episode? I already threw out mine, which is Bodhi meeting Gideon and perhaps having a little bit of a turn there. But Pete, go ahead. What's your key moment?
iCarly, man. Having Carly show up and right the ship that is Tyler and getting him back in the game. Huge. Getting those numbers back on the good side.
I guess I would, jumping off that, finally unlocking Tyler feels like the last step we need to actually get the family ready to turn things around. We're halfway through the season, so it's time for them to fight.
Oh, man,
fight.
Really?
Yeah, 8 episodes, man.
Oh, man.
It's time for them to fight their way to the top. And, of course, Gordy Shaw getting some guac amole is always great news.
Come on, man. Yeah. Come on, dude.
Also, what a flex. Hot Josh, I got guac for the table. Yeah, dude, that stuff's not cheap. That's a flex. And Bodie, if regular Bodie was there, he would have lost his mind for that.
He'd be like, whoa, man. This guy's got a chowder drawer back in his office. That's how it is.
Guacamole drawer. Hard. Hard to keep a guacamole.
If you'd like to support this podcast so we can get a guac drawer, guacamole drawer, or a chow drawer, chowder drawer, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come back out. We would love to chat with you about Lock and Key, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow this podcast. At Lock and Key Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, keep it locked right here.
Keep that chowder drawer locked too, because you don't want anybody else in there.
So gross.